can't go over everything. So I said it last week, and I'm constantly reminded in this, but if all you did for spiritual investment as far as teaching was just hear a message at church, over the whole year, you'd only get 26 hours of teaching. Okay, that is just not enough to live faith on every day, okay, every day. So, all right, so that being said, I'm going to be speaking out of Philippians 4, and today I get to talk about contentment. That is not a four-letter word, all right? It's not a four-letter word, though. Some of you probably went there. This is a treat. So I'll start by reading at chapter 4, verse 10 through 13, and I'm going to read out of the New American Standard for this particular one. I love the detail it puts into it. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Okay, good word. The context here, I want to be clear right off the bat, that the context that it's bringing it up is more of a financial or material context, okay? However, the concept that he's speaking from, that what Paul is coming from when he says, I've learned the secret of being content, is way deeper than that. Okay, that's something that, like, he's understood. He's gotten revelation from God. Like, his eyes have been open to something that's, like, way bigger than what's said here that he's applying to this financial context. And so if you read it, you'll see the context I'm talking about. But this is such a huge concept, okay? He's talking out of something very, very deep. And it's interesting because, like, with revelation like that, last week we learned that it says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And especially as you ask and you give thanks, the peace of God, he will grant you his peace. And that peace is something you can't understand or fathom. Okay, you can't understand or fathom. It will guard your heart and your mind. I believe that this revelation of contentment is the same way. Okay, we can talk about it plainly, but when it comes down to it, this is so much deeper. This is a total game changer, okay? And I'm going to break it apart, but that's where he's coming from. Really, he's like saying, you know, we can talk about finances, we can talk about this or that. To be honest, that's not the hinge point of where we're going, right? We're going after the heart of God. And whether you're rich or you're poor, doesn't matter. That's not a hinge point of if you're going to connect with God or not. Okay. I'm going to give a really simple example here. So I love to get up in the morning for, you know, 20 years. I've gotten up and I've generally been in a really good habit of this, but I get up in the morning, I get the coffee started, I make my breakfast, I eat my breakfast because I don't like to drink coffee on an empty stomach. I haven't ordered these things, right? And then I grab my cup of coffee and I go sit on the corner of my couch and I open the Word and I read the Bible and I pray and whatever the Lord kind of brings up. Sometimes I fall asleep, but the reality is I show up, okay? I show up. So now that cup of coffee, I love coffee. I really do. And love's a fair word. But you know, I just like a regular black coffee, light roast, though I prefer it in a glass mug, an open glass mug. Then, so it goes glass, ceramic, stainless, plastic, all right? So as much as I just like a regular cup of coffee, I'm a little picky about my regular cup of coffee. But when I show up on the couch to spend time with the Lord, I like to have my coffee, but does it make a difference of if I connect with God or not? No. Doesn't matter if I have coffee or not. Okay? I know that sounds like a really meaningless story, but ultimately this idea of contentment and talking about material wealth and all that stuff, Paul's saying something in a similar means. He's like, you know what? In my connection with God, money is really not a thing. Is it important? Do we need finance? Do we need to learn how to steward it? There's a big discipleship thing there, right? But the fact is that at the end of the day, I'm about connecting with God. Just like it doesn't matter if I have coffee or not, doesn't matter if I have wealth or not, doesn't matter if I have this or that or influence or favor. The fact is that I can still come to him at the end of the day and he's going to be there, right? And I'm going to show up. That's what he's saying. He gets this, all right? He gets this, that there is nothing that he has to ask permission from to have relationship with God, okay? Nothing he has to ask permission from, and especially money. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 through 12. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? Night and day we toiled to earn a living so that we wouldn't be a burden to any of you as we preached God's good news to you. You yourselves are our witnesses, and so is God, that we were devout and honest and faultless toward all of you believers. And you know that we treated you as a father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. For he called you to share in his kingdom and his glory. Okay? He's saying, you know what? Money is nothing to me in this context. It's not going to change any in the story. But if it's a big deal to you, I will burn the candle at both ends to work so that I won't be a burden, so that the good news moves forward unhindered. Okay? And he's like, even though a teacher should be paid his wages, right? They provide a service. Just like, I mean, you drop your car off at a mechanic, you would not do that without expecting to pay them, right? That's just part of how it works, right? He says the same thing, like in 1 Corinthians, he talks about that. He's like, a teacher is worth his wages, yet you know what? I'll throw that out. Faith to live like that. I have the faith to live like that. Paul threw everything back on God. He threw everything back on God. He's like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm taken care of. I'm provided for. He's going to finish what he started in me. I don't have to worry about this, okay? I'm going to spend my mind on the right things, which first and foremost is showing up. First and foremost. Paul's got it. He says in 1 Timothy 6:6, he's writing it to Timothy, he says, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Is itself great wealth. Okay? He sees this. So when he says in Philippians 4, like, I've learned the secret to being content, he's not just saying, like, here's a good idea. He's like, no. Like, this is coming from everything, the culmination of years and years of ups and downs, of hardships, of exciting things, of watching God do everything that he's done in years past, of setting people free and miraculous things. This is what it's come down to, that I can say this with authority, that I can say this as someone who knows. I didn't read it in a book and do nothing with it. I took the word of God. I listened to his voice. And I walked forward in it. And I can tell you that this is true. I can tell you from experience that this is true. So let's break it apart, okay? So Philippians 4, I really want to hit verses 11 through 12. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. Okay, the first bit of words that I want to pull out of there that Paul says in both of those verses are these three very, very special words. I have learned. I have learned. Okay, what does that mean? Two things that really means right off the bat that I want you guys to focus on. First, it's not where he started. Hear that. It's not where he started. Did he write that letter and what he wrote in Philippians about being content on day one of his ministry? How many of you in here feel like day two, day three, you should be able to write that? Year one, year two, decade one, decade two. I have learned. Okay? Another thing, it took time. And it took teaching. It took someone who was willing to mentor me. A lot of people, right? Here's the thing. Nobody wanted anything to do with Paul but Barnabas. It says the words, but Barnabas. Like he was the thing that changed everything for Paul that God had set in motion for him. It took mentoring. It took time. I have learned. Okay. I believe that good teaching must impart. Okay. And I want to speak this over everyone in here. In my practice, I was very led to say this, that you have the grace to learn. Okay. Will you receive that today? You have the grace to learn. Here's two things that go with that. That does not mean that you should waste your lessons or take them for granted. Okay, pay attention. You have the grace to learn. You have the grace to waste a few lessons. Okay, but do it if it's going to get wasted, do it out of ignorance. Don't do it by choice. Okay? Here, it's the mercy of God. It's the goodness of God coming to give you something better than you had. It's as simple as it is. Something better than you had. Not just a little better than you had. Okay? Like, totally transform your life better than you had. And the second one is that grace to learn does not mean that we don't have to apologize for the things that happen as we learn. Okay? It does not mean that we should not be responsible. In fact, fewer times have I felt closer to God than when I had to go and humble myself and apologize to someone for being a ruthless jerk or selfish or heartless, arrogant. Fill in your own word, okay? Fill in your own word. But here's the thing. It didn't come from a place of like, look how horrible I am. Grace lets you sit in the place of being like, I'm still acceptable to God because he said so. He said so. Okay? That's what I get to take from today. That's a hard practice sometimes to receive for yourself. It's also a hard practice to extend to others. He says, I have learned the secret. Okay, when you look at the original word there, the secret, it says basically, I've been initiated into the mystery of something. In other words, I've been brought into something that not everybody gets privy to. I've become intimately acquainted with a thing. You know what he was saying? When he says, I've learned the secret to being content, he's saying, I have been intimately acquainted with ups and downs, okay? I've seen the best of the best. I've seen the worst of the worst. And after all is said and done, after all these years, you know what it takes to be able to make a statement like that? Things like getting beaten, almost dying, shipwreck. A lot of the stories that these two awesome individuals shared up. That was one of the coolest things I've seen all week. Okay? You know how much story it took to make that statement that he shared? Of learning the secret to be content? A lot of years. A lot of hardship. And a lot of things forged. I'll share some examples of my own life here in a minute. Even like what I shared last week, to pray about everything. To learn to pray about everything. I mean, honest answer, like just, this is rhetorical. Think of it for yourself, okay? How many things happen to you every day that you pray about versus not pray about? Okay? This isn't to say like, to put a guilt trip on anybody. It's just to say like, how much do you trust God with your life? Okay? My mentor said to me that, he's like, you know, I don't have the time to pray about every single little thing that comes up in my day. So you know what I do is I get up in the morning, I spend 3 or 4 hours with the Lord. Right? Spend 3 or 4 hours. I don't do that. Okay, let me say that. I'd like to tell you that I do, but I'd be lying and shouldn't be up here if that's the case. He's like, I spend 3 or 4 hours with the Lord, and my biggest focus is just sitting with him and learning to hear his voice so that when I go forward in faith, I'm like, you know what? I've trusted my whole life to you. So, Spirit, tell me what to say. And you know what? If I mess up, it's not like it puts me in a bad spot with God. Because he said so. Because he said so. He is the forgiveness of my sin. He is the redemption of my life. He is the reason I got a story. I've learned the secret to being content in humble means. Okay, the word for humble means and how it's put there is basically to take a big mountain and plow it into a field. Has anybody ever experienced that? And flatten it, literally to level is what it says, okay? To level it, to take something that was majestic, really, that stood out, and to level it, okay? Do you think that Paul experienced that? Okay, Paul is like, he was like the cream of the crop Pharisee until this, how did he put it? This crazy thing happened to him. All right, and Jesus showed up, and he had this awesome revelation, and then guess what? Everything he knew, like his whole life changed. It got leveled. All right, everybody that was his closest friends, a lot of them hated him now. Some of them wanted to kill him. Okay, he knew this. In Ephesians 3:8, it says, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. Okay, look at that statement. He's not just saying, like, check out the cool thing that I get to do. He's like, look at what I get to tell them. I'm telling them this from my experience. Like, I got set free, and so I have something to talk about. It's not just that I get to talk about it. It's that, look, that I actually have something to talk about that could change someone's life. Humble means, 2 Corinthians 12:9, I don't think I have it up there. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I'm glad to boast in my weaknesses because it's the power of Christ that works through me. To be okay with your weaknesses. In fact, to boast in them, as he says. Learn the secret to being content through humble means or in prosperity. Prosperity, okay? Prosperity is an easy one to think on because it's like excess, extra, right? Having plenty. Prosperity also means, it literally, if you like look it up in the, it also means like the mountain. They got leveled in humility. It's the mountain, okay? When I've been set above. When I've been set above. So whether I've been set above or I've been leveled out, is what he's saying. It's not just, I mean, again, he applied it to a financial context, but you know what has to happen in your heart just to let go of the money piece? You gotta get set free in your heart to let go of the money piece. Okay, that's what he's speaking from. He's like, whether I'm up high or I've been leveled out, whether being filled or going hungry, those are both food words, so I'm not gonna go into that. That's simple enough. Having abundance, same as prosperity, or suffering need. Ooh, this was the craziest one, okay? I've learned the secret of being content, whether in prosperity, in abundance, or suffering need. Here's what suffering need is, that original word. To be behind, to come late or tardily, to be left behind in the race and so fail to reach the goal, to fall short of the end, fail to become a partaker, fall back from, to be inferior in power, influence, and rank, to fail, to suffer want, to be devoid of or inferior in excellence or worth. Heavy. He's saying, I have learned the secret of being content, whether I am that mountain or whether I am in that failure. And I have nothing, and I feel worthless. And you know what that secret really is saying? What he's saying by making that statement is, I've learned I have just as much in either place. I have just as much in either place. Why? Because I found real wealth in the Lord Jesus Christ. I found real wealth in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he wants me to be generous, he'll give me something to be generous with. Okay? If he wants me to do what's right, he'll give me the means to do what's right. It can change like that. Think about Joseph. He lives in a prison one day. He's the second in Egypt. Same day. Okay? By the end of the day, he probably didn't wake up that morning thinking like, oh, you know, by the end of the day, this is going to look a lot better. Okay? That's where Paul's coming from. He's like, no, this is really how it works. This is really how it works. I have just as much because you know what? I found something. God has opened my eyes. It's not to say that he's not thankful for everything that God gave him, right? And for all of the things that God has, like, you know, if you have a lot of money, like, be grateful for it, right? Because you can do a lot with that. And guess what? If you don't have a lot of money, there's a lot of biblical characters that were super wealthy, okay? And there's a lot of biblical characters that weren't. And guess what? They all loved God. Again, it wasn't the hinge point. It wasn't the hinge point. It didn't matter if they had it or didn't have it. They're still going to have relationship with Jesus. Okay? That's where they're going. That's where they want to settle. Second Corinthians 4:8 says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we're not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be seen in our bodies. Okay, relationship with God, deep relationship with God, real riches. You know, Jesus said that, like, if you can't be trusted with, like, worldly wealth, then you won't get true riches. God won't give you true riches, okay? It's a stewardship principle, all right? Because everything that really matters, like, everything about how we practice stewardship, about how we practice finances, is to teach us about something that's worth so much more in him. Paul's like, I found it. I found it. You know what? I had to learn it. It took a long time. A long time. And it took things you can't imagine to teach me a lesson that profound. Things you can't imagine to teach a lesson that profound. Really, the only place that you have to worry about when it comes to lack or prosperity is your connection with God. That's the only place you got to worry about when it comes to lack or prosperity. And can I tell you something? He's like a million steps ahead of you in that. He knows there's going to be times where you're like, I don't know that I want to spend the time this morning. He knows there's going to be times. That's why it's called grace. And who made the way for grace? He did. Okay? So if he's willing to make the way for grace in your life, then do you think he's going to hold that against you? I mean, don't take it for granted. He says that specifically. He's made it all right there for you. Every bit of it. Like, everything you need. Like, to say that you're content means that I found everything I'm looking for in Jesus. It doesn't mean that you don't want something, okay? It doesn't mean that you're not hopeful for something. You know, you can be content. I have definitely learned this. You can be content and still desire something to happen or to have something and feel grateful for everything you have, okay? It's all there. In fact, where would you be if you stopped hoping for more? Whether it's more in him, it's more in your life, ask him. Gosh, ask him. You know, what do you do if you, again, like we talked about last week, if you don't have something and you want it, what do? You ask. Don't be afraid to ask. Guess what? He can still tell you no. Okay? But even just to say, like, I'm willing to ask. How many people in here besides me have trouble asking for help? Okay? If you have trouble asking for help from people, you probably have trouble asking for help from God too. realistically, I bet you'll see the parallel. Okay? That's not a hardship to anybody. That's just to say, look, we get to grow. We get to grow. We get to learn what it's like to have a father who cares about every little detail in our lives. It's not a bad place to be. Again, 1 Timothy 6:6, yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. Okay? Paul spoke this out of a revelation of his heart, that money and wealth, material wealth, it's not the hinge point. Like, at the end of the day, whether he connects with God or not has nothing to do with that other thing. Just like when I go and I sit and to spend time with the Lord, it doesn't matter if I have coffee or not. Coffee's not going to make the difference in if I connect with God or not. Okay? So that doesn't matter. But what he's saying is that you have to learn that there are bigger things going on. Jesus said, you cannot serve both God and money. He did not say you cannot have both God and money. He said you cannot serve both God and money. Okay? If it were true that you cannot have both God and money, then why would he have given so much to so many people who are such major people of faith in the Word? He'd literally have to break his own commitment to people to do that. But there's a matter of the heart. One of my favorite stories is the rich young ruler. So the rich young ruler, it says that he ran up to Jesus and he fell on his knees before Jesus. And he said, teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, you know the commandments, like do this, do that. And he's like, all of these I have kept since I was young. Okay, who can even say that, right? I would be like, okay, that's a good place to start. Right? He's like, all of these I have kept since I was young. But yet, he kept all of these since he was young, but what's happening that the guy's so desperate that he runs up to Jesus and falls on his knees just to ask him a question? Obviously, there's a huge emptiness in his soul. Huge emptiness in his soul. And he knows Jesus has the answer. And he's not afraid to ask. And Jesus says, one thing you lack. He says he looked at him and loved him and said, one thing you lack. Go sell everything that you have and give the money to the poor. Then come and follow me. And the man went away sad because he had great wealth. Okay? Jesus, this didn't have to do with the money. Okay? This is what Paul's talking about too. It didn't have to do with the money. It had to do with where was the guy's heart. You know what Jesus was really saying to him? He was saying, you haven't found real wealth. You haven't found real wealth. That's what Paul is talking about in Philippians 4. He's like, I have found real wealth. And material wealth is not the hinge point. Okay? It's not the hinge point. I've found real wealth. And I found it in God. In God. Matthew 16, 24 through 26 says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? You know, the question that comes up is, have you found your wealth in Jesus Christ? That's the simple question. Have you found everything you're looking for in the one who wanted relationship with you so much that he made it happen? He made it happen. He bridged every gap to get to you. Because here's a question to test and the sake of contentment and where your relationship is with him. Is it real to you that you have just as much in the ups as you do in the downs? Because ultimately, he didn't leave you in either one. Let me ask you this. Someone who doesn't have material wealth, do they need to ask God for wisdom of how to live their life? Yes. For someone who has material wealth, do they need to ask God for wisdom and how to live their life? Absolutely. Both are the same. Okay? If we say that we have more because we have material wealth than the one who doesn't have it but is just as faithful to God, who are we to say that? God's measure is in faith alone. Faith alone. Okay? He gives to one more than he gives to another. And he gets to choose all of that. Okay? Doesn't mean we don't get to practice wisdom or learn wisdom. But he gets to decide. What if he chose to give the person next to me twice as much money as me? Does that mean that they actually have more? If we're both in the favor of God. We're both in the favor of God. Ask the Lord about this. See what it points out. Because I will put money on the table right now that no matter where you think that you're at, the more that you come to see this point, you'll see that you have more favor from God than you can possibly imagine. He's done so much more for your life than you've ever noticed or cared to look at. That's as simple as it is. Okay? He's reached out to you. We did not choose him. He chose us. So how do you know or be reassured that he's doing this work in you, right? Because Paul said, I have learned. All right, took a lot of time. So how do you stay reassured or encouraged on that journey? Okay, I want to just leave with one practical piece and a story. Look at where the Holy Spirit is moving, okay? The easiest place to identify where God is working in your life and where he's is to look at where he's renewed your mind. So look at the things that you used to love before you knew him, and now compare it to where you're at and what you love now. If you come to where you're like, I hate some of the things I used to do, you better believe that that's proof God has worked in your life. Okay? He has renewed your mind. He has changed your heart. Okay. Other places, look for the fruit of the Spirit. Okay? I'm just like waiting for someone to erupt and tell me what it is, but I'm gonna put it on the stage. So Galatians 5:22-23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. When you see yourself like naturally more patient with the same difficult person, is God working in your life? Yes, that takes an act of God, all right? When you see yourself kind where you weren't kind before, is God working in your life? I am certain that Paul had to have looked at some things in his life just to be encouraged at times of where he was at, to learn this secret of contentment, that he had to look and see, like, look at the places where he has been discipling me and changing my heart. Like, look, there was progress, and there was progress, and there was progress, and I'm getting this. I'm starting to get this. Let me give a real practical story. So my wife and I, about a year and a half after we were married, we spent the first like year and a half living in a condo off of 203, and pretty nice place and whatnot. And we decided at that point to save some money, pay off a little bit of debt. And so we moved to a single wide trailer out in Ignacio. And the big motivation was, on that single wide trailer, there was a shop on the property. It was a really beautiful property. And the rent was really low. So between the house and the shop, it was going to save us like $1,500 a month in rent. Yeah, that's 18 grand a year. All right. So pretty substantial amount of money. Like, that can definitely take care of a few debts. So we moved down there. And beautiful property. The house had a few issues. And not to say anything, like, I've lived in trailers and double wides and all that stuff. There's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. This particular one had issues, okay? And not only that, but we had, the landlord was a super sweet lady, but not the most responsible landlord, okay? So we had all kinds of things going on. And I was like, okay, no problem. I grew up in, you know, like, most of my life was in this double wide that was like a really old double wide, and I could hear mice crawling around in the walls and all that stuff, and frost on the glass on the inside. But you know what? It never bothered me. Never bothered me, okay? There's nothing wrong with it. And so for me, that wasn't much of a jump to go into this single wide trailer. Okay, for my wife, that was not her upbringing, all right? That was not her upbringing. In fact, she doesn't know how to say this, but she's such a city slicker. Like, when we got down there, there was cows and stuff that would get out. And at first, she went out with a camera, and she was taking pictures of them. She's like, look at the cows! It was awesome. So we have this great experience, right? So we're there through that winter and like spring and all that. We had times that it snowed like crazy that year. My wife definitely got times where she like couldn't get into the house. And so I was down in, I think I was in Romania on a mission trip for a couple of weeks. And like we ran out of propane. She goes inside. The fish bowl is like frozen and he's hanging out at the bottom. Okay, the water line, I don't even know how many days the water line froze where we woke up to no running water, okay, because the pipes were not properly taken care of. Our electric went out we had like 5 days in a row, no electricity with, and they, LPEA kept coming out and they're like, no, your problem is definitely in the wiring of the house. And we're like, oh, well, that's not very exciting. So, and it got remedied relatively quickly. One time, we poured a bunch of hot water down and, out of the bath. We emptied a bath. That's what it was. And it just wasn't real well insulated or taken care of or set up underneath the trailer. And so what it did is the heat of the water actually broke the pipes underneath, okay? So all of the septic just dropped right below the trailer, okay? It took over a week to get that fixed, all right? So my wife and I, we'd get up in the morning and we would... we'd be like, okay, you know what? For like clean water, we can let that slide. But when we got to use the bathroom, we get up in the morning, jump in the car, drive to the casino, go to the bathroom, come back to the house, and you know, try to get ready for work. And you know, our landlord, she's like, when we called her and said, like, what do you want us to do in this? What is your plan of action? She's like, you know what? I have to wait until I get paid to take care of it. Until then, use a bucket. Okay? So Kristen calls this the season of contentment. All right? Because we're going through experience after experience after experience like that. And right towards the end of it, like there was this like wood frame deck that like steps and a, you know, a small deck right out front to enter. And I step out one day, I open the door and I step out onto the deck and I fall through. And it comes up to like right here, and the whole deck kind of falls to the side. And I look at Kristen, and I'm thinking she's just gonna like break down in tears. And she laughs. She laughs. And of course, when I see her laugh, all I can do is laugh too. What changed in our hearts, except that by going through experience after experience after experience? Let me ask you something. If really being content is what you want in your life, are you okay with going through a lot of experiences that are less than ideal to get there? Paul's like, I've been intimately acquainted with ups and downs to get to the point that I'm talking from right now to tell you that there is something so much greater. Intimately acquainted with ups and downs. Let's just be straightforward. If that's not where you want to go, like if you're going to avoid the ups and downs, don't expect contentment. Don't expect it. Okay? A father teaches through discipline and love. Discipline and love. They work together. Okay? You won't find contentment without that. If you want a comfortable entrance, do you think that if Paul lived just a comfortable life, that he'd be able to say what he said? Common sense, right? Common sense. The fact is, like, my wife found total contentment. To be able to laugh at the next problem, think about it. If you could laugh at the next problem in your life, what does it take to get there? That's how he invests in you. You're so much stronger than you think in him. And his power is made perfect in your weakness. So let it go. Let it go. I invite the worship team to come up. The thing about contentment is it's a great idea. But when the rubber meets the road, and to know real contentment, be ready to embrace many things in your life. Many people in this room could say, I have found the secret of contentment in the highs, in the lows, in the failures, in the successes. I've learned that I always have God. He'll never abandon me. I have everything in Him. You only get there through time, mentorship, leading of the Holy Spirit, being teachable. Being teachable. Okay, if I'm going to ask anything, it's that you have an open heart and be teachable today. Okay, if you take nothing from this message, have an open heart and be teachable, because that takes the roof off of what God can do in your life. Okay? And Father, I ask that that would be true over every person in this room today, and that they would receive that, and that for those who needed to hear it, that they have the grace to learn. And that does not devoid them of responsibility, but they have the grace to learn, that they would receive that and own that and hear of the worth that you have placed on them. Will you make our top priority to just sit with you like my mentor showed? If it's 3 or 4 hours in the morning, if it's getting up that early to make that work, whatever that looks like, you talk to each person in here, Lord. You know what they need, what works for them. But if that's what it would take, Lord, that you'd give us at least a glimpse of what's so wonderful to chase after in you. And then when we've seen that, show us another one, just like you do in heaven, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, so that we erupt in praise. Let that be our life this week. In Jesus' name, amen.